Hey, Will, said Jake. Got your chin. He snatched at my face, pinching his thumb between the knuckles of his pointer and middle fingers. His big, dumb friend Spencer guffawed. Wah, wah, wah. And the two of them walked off together, leaving me with my PB&J sandwich. Got your chin? What did that even mean? I had no one to ask. I always sat alone at lunch. At the opposite side of the table, some fourth graders were building a catapult out of drinking straws. I forgot all about Jake's little taunt until a few weeks later, when I was sitting at my desk waiting for fifth grade social studies to start. He walked into class, hands cupped like he'd caught a grasshopper. I found it, he announced, peeking between his hands. Will's missing chin. A bunch of other kids laughed, and I could feel my face burn with shame, but at what? What was so funny about my chin? As soon as the tardy bell rang, I grabbed a hall pass and went to an empty restroom to look at my reflection. It was my usual face. Glasses, big front teeth, chubby cheeks. My chin seemed very uninteresting. That night, everything became clear. I was brushing my teeth when Mom's makeup mirror caught my eye. I grabbed it and peered at my reflection. It magnified everything. My nostrils and nose were monstrous. My eyes were large and looming. Then I held the mirror out to the side. From this new angle, I could see myself the way others did. I'd seen my face in the mirror a million times, but I'd never noticed. I knew it hadn't grown that way overnight. Now I know that bad things can happen a little at a time. That Saturday night, I was holding the makeup mirror to my face. I'd been checking it at least twice a day. If my chin had shrunk, maybe it could grow back. What are you doing with my mirror? Mom's voice startled me. She was standing behind me in her old nightgown. I slammed the mirror down on the counter so hard, I nearly broke it. Will, what were you looking at? Nothing, I said. I pushed past her into the hallway, but she followed me. Stop, she said. I turned and glared at her. What were you doing? Looking at my face, I said quietly. Why? What's wrong with it? She asked, coming closer. Something's wrong with my chin, I said. Look, see? I turned my face to the side. It looks weird. Who told you that? She demanded. What idiot said there's something wrong with your face? A kid at school, I said reluctantly. I didn't want her to know I was getting teased. Will, don't you ever let anyone tell you how you look. She sounded angry, though I knew it wasn't directed at me. Except your mother, she went on, her voice softening. And I'm telling you, the only thing I see when I look at you is a handsome young man who looks a lot like his dad. Are there pictures of Dad without a beard? I asked. She shook her head. No, but I promise you, there was nothing wrong with his face. I loved his face. She took a big breath as if she'd just climbed a hill and told me it was way past bedtime. It's only 8 o'clock, I objected. Past my bedtime, she said. She drifted off to her room. I don't have any brothers or sisters, so the house suddenly grew quiet. I went downstairs to the living room, then to the kitchen, and back up to the hall, reviewing each of the framed photographs. Dad and Mom on their honeymoon in Hawaii. Dad and Mom at the hospital after I was born. A grainy selfie of Dad and Mom and me with a blurry background in the back. I'd looked at these pictures a million times, and in each one, the face beneath Dad's beard was a mystery. A few weeks later, Mom told me she'd had a chat with my doctor about my chin. I was going to meet a surgeon. A surgeon, I shouted. No, no hospitals. You know how I am. Yes, I do know how you are, she said. And his office isn't in a hospital. It's in a clinic. As if that made a difference. I hate hospitals and anything that has to do with them. Probably due to the fact that Dad died in surgery when I was 4. He was only getting a hernia fixed, a tiny tear inside the abdominal cavity, but something went wrong and he never came home. Even now, I get jittery and jumpy when I go to the doctor. even when we drive by a hospital. But it's not like I have a bunch of traumatic memories. I can barely remember the room, the bed, the monitors. The next morning over breakfast, Mom looked awful, like she hadn't slept. She apologized for making the appointment without telling me. "I do think your face looks absolutely fine," she added. "Let's have a doctor tell us that too." But that's not what happened. The surgeon, Dr. Heffetz, stuck his gloved fingers into my mouth and pulled my cheek side to side, up and down, yanking my upper lip up toward my nose and my bottom lip down to my chin so hard, I thought he was going to rip my face off. After a few minutes, he pulled off his gloves and turned to Mom and me. "There's quite a gap between the mandible and maxilla," remarked Dr. Heffetz. "That's the lower and upper jaw bones. I don't know what your father looks like, but maybe you take after him." "He does look a bit like his father," Mom said firmly and decisively, steering us around a heavy topic. "And his father looks perfectly fine." I appreciated that Mom wasn't revealing any more than necessary about Dad. "Maxillofacial conditions like this can go in all sorts of directions," Dr. Heffetz explained, balling up his gloves and throwing them into the trash. "They can be minor and purely cosmetic, or they can develop into more serious conditions. They can make it hard to eat, hard to speak. Sometimes they contribute to sleep apnea." "What's that?" I asked quickly. "Oh, like snoring," Mom interjected. "Your father's snoring could wake the dead."